from the Orlando they're still looking at checks. Comments about standing in uncertainty, not being able to coach at the end of games in the playoffs because he gets a little tight. Sam McGundy has proven to be, and this is something that I thought when Billy Donovan turned the top down, and who they should go get. If you come and see Sam McGundy coach at this point, which everybody has, and you see all the comments, you see his quirkiness, you know, he's not a typical NBA coach, he didn't play in the leagues, he's about 4'9", he's as much of a baseball fan as he is a basketball coach. Knows the game inside and out, knows what's getting. I mean, the most brilliant decision I think I've seen so far in the series is the Cavaliers were going with LeBron James on the Rosario's game. It was really limiting what Rosario was able to do because LeBron was the size of the record. So, you know, you can't post about because he's as big as LeBron. He's too early to talk him, and he can't do as much. Well, you know what they did at the end of the game? All they do is hit the jump shot to get the lead before LeBron. Because they figured the ball was going to be in season, so they called a quick timeout. When you saw Ben Wallace was now called for Rashad Lewis, where's the ball going? He's going to Rashad Lewis because he can do whatever he wants to against Ben Wallace outside. Here's a three pointer with the shot, puts me in the head. It was a two pointer, runs the free throws to this game. So Stan saw that, called that out, makes a change. It's really coaching, changing the play, going to him. He's realizing that the way to an hour right now is in his soft shot to go to him at the end of the game. You don't have to worry about getting rid of him. He's going without a point guard at times, and he's taking right for all stuff off the court, going with Keto handling the ball and bringing Courtney Lee, making the Patriots on the floor. He's just out-coaching Mike Brown, who deserved it, so I know you disagree on this, was coach here. I just love the way the Magic is playing right now. Do they have enough to win a title last question?
I do think they do. I mean, what we're seeing moving along in these series is that they're developing the championship conference that's continuing to set the stage. Orlando has developed we've talked about it every round so far. They have mismatched roster with Charles Lewis for both teams and three games as well. And now they're a confident team. We saw in the Boston series, maybe this is where it clicked when Dwight Howard called out something. Maybe they weren't believing that they could take the next one, but now they actually do. They beat Boston. Going into the series, when we talked last week on the podcast, thought that a big that what Cleveland was going to have to do was punch them out early and take away all that confidence that they picked up in the Boston series. And that obviously didn't happen.
Game one,
Orlando wins. Game two, it takes a miracle from LeBron. And all of a sudden, Orlando, on top of what they developed in the Boston series, is even more confident in the weapons in there. I do think that going into a potential finals against the Nuggets or against the Lakers, they do now have the weapons and the confidence that it takes to win.
It's interesting because one thing we looked at was that, and I think a lot of credit has to go to guy like Kendrick Perkins, who was able to play Howard. Actually, he never stopped because Howard was too good there, but was able to sort of limit, for the most part, Howard's dynamic games. And now you're seeing McCullough is too big. Graded out in the box because just how good and maybe how bad those two guys are, but in terms of the defensive presence, but how good Howard is, sort of taking things over in that regard. He really stepped up in the overtime series there. I'll be curious to see, though, how Orlando is, in fact, they do, which is going to be very hard for Cleveland to overcome. I think a lot of people are still thinking Cleveland's going to come back and win this series, so we'll see how it all plays out. But how Orlando will match up against the potential Lakers or Nuggets. If they go into LA earlier this year, maybe the Lakers in Los Angeles, how do we come up with 22 games? He's going to be a nightmare for that team also. They get another team with two good guys, but defensively too soft because when you talk about Bynum and Gasol, and then against Denver, they'll be able to sort of muscle them a little bit because they may impart receivers. But I think, you know, you mentioned the matchup problems that they create for other teams, and we're seeing it. You know, I think this Orlando team, I was thinking about the story that you wrote about the Atlanta Hawks taking the next step and becoming the team to be the NBA's. If you haven't checked it out, you can probably get it in an archive somewhere on SportsNet.com Studio. You can try to pick the next team that's going to have a breakout team. And then these breakout team sports for the NBA being the Atlanta Hawks if this year's team being the NBA's. Orlando, I think a lot of people have said that coming into the season is maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the Eastern Conference. after Detroit was taken down for conference finals appearances to Chauncey Billups, they were still considered, I think, the third best team in the Eastern Conference. And then you had, obviously, the top two teams being the defending champion, Boston Celtics, and then LeBron. I think they were in the same boat, at least in my mind, coming into the season, as Toronto, who they had a good first round series against in the last year's playoffs, and the Hawks, who took the Celtics to 7 games and really developed a talent a year with Mike Bibby on the court. I don't think anybody expected this Orlando team to be as good. Now, looking at the medical money team and the schedule, the fantasy perspective on this, you have the best center of basketball. You have two very good perimeter players who are multi-talented. Courtney Lee's proved to be a much better rookie than a lot of people thought. I think even the Magic when they drafted him last year. I remember talking to Steve in one of the games when they were down here, and he was just pleasantly surprised. But the team to me with this Orlando team, and this is a guy that has a lot of fantasy value, has Michael Peters healthy for a full season because their point guard situation has worked itself out with Jameer Nelson being hurt and training for Rick Ross. It's almost a wash. They're very similar kind of players that do different things. Page has gone through the wrist injuries. He has some problems, I believe, with the wrist ability to keep. You look at the way he's playing, not only from a basketball perspective, he's been a defensive stopper for the most part. You're not going to stop LeBron, but you can just battle him a little bit. Page has filled that role for them. He's basically the starting two guard. I mean, I know Courtney Lee has been the starter, but you look at the way Page plays, he gives him an outside threat. He's such a good offensive force in Golden State. Where do you look at him from a fantasy perspective going into season? And is he one of those guys that can use this confidence from playoff run from taking shots with LeBron covering him or even just covering LeBron and taking the confidence boost? Can he take the next step in his career and is he becoming now maybe a number three fantasy option, maybe the number two guy if he gets the regular minutes? I mean, he could be a 15 point scorer. He could give you 4 or 5 assists, 3 or 4 rebounds. I mean, that's all part.
Absolutely. I think we were figured out that he's going into the next season. Like you said, he may not be starting to guard in all
season.
Right. Much in the way that Manager showed Jason Terry was. What the best thing that ever happened to Michael Peters is in the Golden State, as we all know, Golden State isn't exactly the breeding ground for Jason. This is his suggest to Tom Wilson, who runs his rotations. He had some flashes of brilliance in Golden State before, but unfortunately, he wasn't getting the kind of role that he needed to sustain.
But he was like a lot of
season runs. Still, something that goes is just a little bit of a he's all of a sudden feeling the need, something that actually ended up lacking. And he's going to get some run next year, especially with the percent of the confidence he's building. Not only the confidence he's building himself, the confidence he's the coaching staff is getting out of this playoff run. I do think going into next season, he's maybe 25, 30, 35 minutes per game off the bench. And look, I actually don't think he's going to be a player that we drafted as a starter. But when we start talking about sleepers next season, he's definitely somebody you want to ask you to draft your year's starting lineup. He's going to take your 4th or 5th guard. He's a little bit very, very solid investment in the middle of the year.
He could also take it stuff further because the Detroit was probably not that in his contract. And he's got a chance he leaves. That's the guy who becomes the starter. That's a depth 3 for them. And the guy who was, you know, such a cheap assist when you play with a center like Howard because he's fast breaks, yeah, even he throws a foul. You know, he's always going to be a guy that's going to give you some cheap assists. And he can read those moves. You can Howard's going to block out guys, so he's going to take 2 guys away from the basket. That leaves Panthers with some cheap rebounds. He's proved he's 42-3. He's doing things in the basket. He to me is the guy who can go back into second place step in terms of fantasy rebounds. And then Cleveland, this is the last time we're talking about the Cavaliers as an active team. Where do they go from here? Because this is the best season that Cleveland basketball, I believe, has ever had, even going back, you know, to the years of Mark Price and Brad Darby and all those times that Jordan built their heart. Do they now go into panic mode because LeBron is entering that defensive phase here and all sorts of things? Still, this could leave a bad taste in his mouth, and he's getting 40 points per game. He's getting his rebounds, he's getting his assists. All the good things that Mo Williams established this year is gone. If in fact, this is the sour taste that's in his mouth being in the playoffs. Do lot of us in DC that we're going to be more than a complimentary number three guy. Indigenous, for most of the years, that's likely being double digit score and a good rebounder. Greer's always going to have that double bond trust against the ball in traffic, but again, he's a great defensive player. There's no real legitimate superstar there. And I don't think you're going to be able to bring one in, at least not until the boss decision is made. So, are they the same team? I mean, it's just, you know, okay, look, we just ran into a team that we matched up poorly against. Let's just roll up our heads and see what we can do, or is this a team that you think this is the best that they're going to do? They're a conference finals type team, maybe LeBron gets hot in the 4-game series, and you're running because they weren't tested, you know, right? Detroit is a still of his former self. And then, you know, that was, you know, as you put it, the last couple times they're taking steps, and that was their next step. But this is a team Cleveland 2 years ago was in the NBA Finals, swept by the Spurs, or lost to five by the Spurs. Disappointing playoff run last year versus the Celtics, but obviously the Celtics were the best team in the NBA. And now they get to the conference finals when they have home court advantage and they can't make it past the win. Was this time to just sort of wait and see?
I don't think it's time. I think it's time to come on board, bend the ship, and start over.
Well, I was just saying that, but I mean, is it
what we're going to expect?
Yeah,
I think we'll expect a little bit more of a season now, but there's a lot of upsides here. So they're going to run through the regular season, be it 1 or 2 seed. I'm not sure exactly how Boston's going to bounce back from where they're at or where they're at. So obviously, they're going to be a contender to the top 1 or 2 seeds.
Obviously, it's a prime team to come from
somebody and somebody else to come from. But you do have the MVPs to come from, James. And during the regular season, they're going to slip you up on the stronger Bobcats and the good things in the world, and they're still going to be one of the top seeds that's guaranteed. As far as what they can see in this playoff run is, I think if next year they're on the top seed or second seed, I think they won't go to the playoffs in the same place. They're pretty much, in their minds, sure, going to the playoffs. They deserve to go to the we're going to be tested. Orlando was just another stop on the way to the finals. I don't think they're going to have that extra. I think they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder when they get to the playoffs next year. That's something I don't think they have. So, in the long run, I actually think this could be a good stepping stone. Like I mentioned in most of these podcasts, in terms of steps, I think with this new run with the team, I think next year they're going to have to expect more out of the player than Williams is. They're committed to more Williams starting to excite him, absolutely. And it's really going to be on players like him. Like we mentioned earlier, the bond is doing what he can. It's going to be up to players like Jackson West and Mo Williams and Ruby Gibson to step up and help out. I think at this point, the first real test in the Eastern Conference playoffs, when they finally got punched in the face, and everybody just turned around and started looking at the ball to carry it. Has he been able to do it? Because that's what it doesn't work for him when he plays for him. I think next year, we're going to see Mo Williams and Durant West and the role players be more ready to take on a bigger role in a big time playoff series.
We'll find out about the Cleveland Cavaliers if they can manage to extend this series. We're recording this on Wednesday, the 27th, so we have game 5 of the Western Conference Series tonight. 2-2. I don't think it's much of a surprise that it's 2-2. I think the way the game's gone, a little bit of a surprise. What do you see from the Lakers so far? Can they at least hold up their end of the bargain and get to the NBA Finals?
Well, we're talking about the Cleveland series that LeBron didn't get that miraculous shot, that one's going to be over. If Denver Nuggets didn't bounce the ball, that series would be over. I think the Lakers are just like the Cavs are being met with a challenge that they weren't quite as having everybody's was the Nuggets become trending big as the Cavs were on.
There was a couple of players that were just being the NBA series.
The Lakers. Guys have been met with a test that I'm not sure that they have the answers for right now. I don't know what you think of the Nuggets after the reaction after losing what was probably game show on game 1.
Well, I think it's always hard to go into another team's arena, calls, continues to break your way. I mean, you basically have to blow to them, you know, at least, you know, from several different stages. You have to take the crowd out of the equation. You have to show that you're not going to allow the refs to distract you from your communications and making some defensive plays. The thing about the Nuggets that we know and that we've seen, they're a very emotional type team, as much as Chauncey Billups has been a common influence on the team. Carmelo is an example player. Danny Martin is obviously a very emotional type of guy. Same thing with the Birdman, which is also for J.R. Smith. You know, these guys are all combustible figures, and they can all go off at any particular moment. And then you have a guy like George Karl, a coach, who sort of plays along the both sides, where he can be explosive or he can be very, you know, calm and sort of dictates, I think, how the team goes. It's hard to go to Los Angeles and be Kobe Bryant. I mean, he's going to do anything he possibly can. The game goes this close in the fourth quarter. He's going to get the foul line, which he did. He's going to make plays, which he did. He's going to get defensive stops. And I think this game, this series, has sort of been, as Trevor Ariza does, so does the Los Angeles Lakers. He makes the two plays at the end, and tomorrow is a big factor in the second time. But I think you see the way that their defensive presence and their demeanor is. I'm curious to see, you know, those messages being just done. Last game, I'm curious to see, and I love the message that was being sent. You know, they're doing everything they can for the Nuggets to get Kobe Bryant off his game. It's very hard to do because he's such a mentally strong type of individual. And he looks at this cross, I think you said it after the Nuggets pulled him out in game four. Now we're going to see Kobe go for eight. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be fair, but he's going to probably be in the 40 range. Because he's been pushed around now by Dante Jones and Jarrett Smith, who's been passing out trying to bother him. But I like the hard foul that Andrew Bryan took on Chris Anderson. And I think that sort of is trying to send the message that if you come in the lane and try to be the flamboyant, the Birdman, the highlight plays, the Jarrett Smith is doing all sorts of gyrations and stuff after every time he touches the ball, you know, I just think that's the type of scenario where it's sending the right message that, okay, we are still going to be a physical team. We're not going to let them push us around. And we'll see how that sort of carries over. But I do think the Lakers are still going to win the series. I think the home court advantage is going to be the key. You know, see the Nuggets winning the last game and being competitive the game before, despite how Carmelo Anthony, because his points, if he went from being over 30 points, he's just averaging 18 points, and he was terrible game four, I think it was an ankle. Yeah, there's also, as we say, almost on top of it. See that sort of, you know, if you're depending on Jarrett Smith to be a consistent shooter, if you're depending on their bigs to give you consistent points, how strange it is, you're going to get the contributions from everybody else. But if you're depending on that, I think you're in trouble. You know, the Lakers know what they're going to get from Kobe, they know what they're going to get from Gasol. You know that you're going to get something from Owen, whatever it may be, points, rebounds, assists. And I think the benches eventually, you know, the bench play was so in favor of Denver. And I think if you look at the teams, you would take Los Angeles' bench in a heartbeat. So it's going to be interesting to see how those other factors play itself out. I think the key is obviously going to be game five. Whoever wins game five is going to take control of the series unless he's in game seven, because it usually happens. But, you know, I think if the Lakers somehow manage to lose game five, we're going into Denver's really hard.
But I do think, on the other side, what you're saying is the Nuggets have come this far in the series without Eli and Carmelo. Not the first game, but game one, he was definitely in the score. I think he had 40 points in the game. But since game one, they've come around this series and Dallas has
closed over 30.
He's over 30, and in game three, I think it has to be a big team. But they've gotten this far, and they're at 2-2 without Carmelo having Carmelo's injury. I think he's still has dinner. I don't think this ankle injury is going to linger much longer. He's got a big game or two left in the tank, and the Nuggets are getting in there without that so far. When that happens, I don't know what the Lakers are going to do to match that intensity. Kobe Bryant, just being Kobe Bryant. They're at where they're at right now with Kobe doing what he does. And Carmelo has what he has in the equation. I think that might put the Nuggets on the top of the list.
Alright, we'll find out how it goes. Quickly, a couple of fancy notes. Jimmy Garnett has a surgery. Any concern about him next zero. So it means 100% healthy where you see it falling from a fantasy perspective.
Well, I think we've already begun to see the decline of Cooper in terms of fantasy in the last couple of years. But he made the move from Minnesota to Boston. The reason was there for him to drop off, especially in terms of points. Playing with the likes of Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. He's not going to score, he's not going to carry as much of a score that is good. So now we're starting to see the rebounds start to dip. I think he averaged 9.7 steals, 8.5 or something like that. The days of him averaging 10 to 12 rebounds were here. The loss, everything's going to start to diminish gradually. I think we're looking at Kira being a mid to late second rounder. In some cases, I mean, if we're going to be realistic, because he's going to run it, it's not going to happen. If we're going to be realistic and compare him to these other forwards around the league, and what they can bring, especially if you come from power forwards, he could be a third rounder.
Wow.
Before he got hurt, so he was still putting up the production in the regular season.
I will say this. We can see the emergence of lenses. We do know that we are called to pursue the comeback of creation, and at some point, disease could be factors. We know now that Ginger Kirk is going to be a little bit more of an offensive force. But
the other is going to be the time for him to crash in the other is out for a game. So if he's pushing for the score and answering, or back, which you know about the offense, so it's all the time.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. But 71 games in his first two books, he hasn't been 82 games since 2004-05, so you have to deal with him. He went from 82 to 76 to 76 to 71. So it's not like he's missing the deal. It's like, you know, 57 games was the second worst season of his career when he first got hurt, and that's an 18-9. So, just look at that type of player, his hunger, his motivation. I believe that Ray Allison entered free agent here in 2010, one of those guys. And Paul Pierce also might have early termination option on his contract. Tucker just talked about doing a Tyron Allen's sabbatical and walking away for a couple of years from coaching. So I think they're gearing up for one more run. If they're going to do that, it's going to have to be 18-8, 9.2 from Bennett. It's not going to be 16.8 and 8.5. Now, granted, he's not going to be a 20-plus scorer. He's not going to be a double-digit rebounder. But I do think, and this part of the injury, and this is something that if you're interested in medical stuff, you can listen to our baseball podcast that has followed fantasy. Eric Magnus, he says, no quotes, he posts through medical journals. So he was talking about, I forget the player, but Paul Spurs being a detriment of an injury to any part of your body. Kelly Arnett was dealing with the entire season before he strained the tendon. So he wasn't the same player. He was playing with these balls first in his knee prior to the injury in Utah. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be very good. He's going to be healthy. I mean, he's a
crazy kid. I mean, he's an old player. He's old for his age. He's been in the league forever. But this is the time of his career where I think we're going to begin to expect to be not. Around the same numbers next year, but to expect a resurgence.
I expect a resurgence. I expect 2 years old and
okay. With that said, if you look at those numbers that you said,
18.8, 9.2,
and you look at the forwards that we ran off, how many of those forwards are capable of doing the same? Younger players.
You know me, Sergio. I'm more inclined to take the younger side than the veteran guys on the line because you see in basketball happens quickly. But I still think Eastern Conference, not a lot of good power forwards. He's still going to be the guy that touches the ball a ton. He's still going to be the focal point.
I still think it's the end of February. It's not the end of February. He's going to go tomorrow all of a sudden.
He's number three. He's going to go to the next. He's in there round three.
Knowing basketballs like we do, are they going to let him jump? It's the name Kevin Garnett.
No, it's going to be hard for someone to pass him up on
name recognition alone.
I think a safe spot for him, realistically, I think maybe talking about the ledge a little bit, but a safe spot for him, realistically, is if you're the swing pick at the end of round 2-1 and round 3, to get those back-to-back picks, take a chance on Garnett because he's pursuing the top talent in round 3, if not the best player in the round 2. So we will certainly get into that a little bit more as we go along, maybe throughout the summer, or definitely getting into the season. You can check out all of our fantasy rankings on fantasynews.cbsports.com, and all of our basketball covers again. If you missed anything that Jen Berger, Mike Freeman, Greg Doyle, all of our great basketball writers are doing, you are missing the best basketball coverage on the internet and probably anywhere. So check that out at cbsports.com. We will continue to talk to you throughout the playoffs, the finals, the finals, the rebound, and get back into the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see who can win the Western Conference Finals, whether it's going to be Kobe, Carmelo, and we'll see if those commercials will hold.